My name is Ray, Ray Souza, your friend from Brazil. So I like to say it because sometimes people have a hard time figuring out the accent, and I don't want you to be distracted the whole message. You can, oh, he's from Brazil. I have got like Argentina, I have got like somewhere in South America, is he Italian? I'm Brazilian, so yeah. What a blessing for us to just come on Sundays and worship God together and to open God's words. There is something about giving our ears and opening our hearts to God's word. I like to have the attitude when every time I have an opportunity, when anybody is like sharing God's word, I like to, you know, kind of like present myself to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I don't know you as I ought to. I don't know your word as I should. So this morning, it's a great opportunity for you to reveal yourself, for us to get to know you more and to open our hearts to your word. So what a great opportunity we have this morning. So let's just pray and let's just go to God's word and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us as we share here up front. Amen. Let's do that. Father, we are so thankful. We are thankful for Good News Church. We are thankful for Drew and Laura and their loving ministry towards all of us. And we are thankful for each member that you brought to this church and just the friendship and the love that we exchange between each other. And Father, thank you for this beautiful place that we can meet here at Payne Corley House. Thank you for just the open heart of the owners to let us use this beautiful place and use it for free in the morning. So thank you so much. And Father, as we come to you, it is our heart desire, because we are humans, we can get so familiar with things, and especially things that we do like in a repetitive way. And going to church can be one of those things that we can do it on the automatic mode, where have been that, done that, and what's new, and But we want to just take a pause this morning and recognize you and recognize your presence and recognize that we are going to open the Bible together. And what has been said about the Bible, it's like heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will stand forever. And that is enough reason, Father, for us to give you ears, for us to pay attention, for us to invite your spirit to speak to us and as we hear your word. So bless each one of us. Father, you know where we come from. You know how our week has gone, and you know the battles, you know the victories, you know everything about us. And we come here this morning with different experience and different circumstances and different problems. And so we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us individually, that your word would meet the needs that we all have this morning, whatever it is. Father, it's our prayer. We are believing you. We are thankful for this opportunity that we have today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. So we are coming to an end, believe me or not, to the series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, The Sermon of the Mountain in Matthew chapter 5 all the way to chapter 7. So when did we start? We started like a long time ago, right? It seemed. May? Was May? Yeah, so I think there is this message and one more, or two more. Two more, so. That sounds right. So And today we are going to be in chapter 7, verse 7 to 14, where Jesus teaches about prayer, he teaches about the golden rule, and he teaches about the narrow and wide way, the narrow and wide gate. But before we do that, before we get to our text this morning, I thought it would be like important for us to have something as a premise to what we are going to read so that, you know, again, it's like sometimes, you know, you hear the same passage and kind of like, yeah, I heard that before, I read that before, and I even like that, you know, that passage, but I think this premise is really good for what we are going to be reading this morning. Three verses as a premise. The first one, it's in Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19 says this, God, he is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? So, God is not a man that he should lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, so that by two unchangeable things in which is impossible for God to lie, it is impossible for God to lie, we have taken refuge. We who have taken refuge would have a strong encouragement to take hold of hope, of the hope set before us. That was Hebrews 6:18. And the last one is Titus 1:2. It says this, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world. So here we are, and what we are about to read comes from a God that has revealed himself to us, has sent his son, Jesus Christ, who came here in flesh, who has given us his word, and nothing, absolutely nothing that he has promised from his word has not fulfilled. There is some other things that is going to be fulfilled in the future, but so many things already that God has said long ago, he has been truth to his word. His word has been fulfilled because he is a God that cannot lie. He is a God that it's impossible for him to lie. And I believe it is important for me to bring that to memory from time to time because, you know, sometimes we can be like, you know, I think God forgot about me, right? I think God, you know, what about this promise that he gave me? You know, is he going to come true? I just wanted to encourage you that your God, your Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, he is a God that it's impossible for him to lie. He remains true to his word, and he will remain true to his word. So let's have that as a premise this morning for the simple but deep and wide verses that we are going to read. It comes from a God that cannot lie, has never lied. It's impossible for him to lie. So it's a good reminder every time we open God's word, and it's a good reminder every time that we are facing challenge, you know, challenges to kind of like doubt God's word and God himself, to remember, you know, he is all truthful, and he is faithful to his word, and he's going to accomplish everything that he said that he will accomplish. So, if you remember, in chapter 6 of Matthew, we learn, you know, Jesus, like, the disciples ask Jesus, you know, to teach them how to pray, and Jesus taught, you know, he had already taught his disciples how to pray and what to pray. Remember, Jesus said, you know, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites that likes to show off with prayers. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians kind of like that as well, you know, showing off. But our Savior Jesus, he said, you don't do that. Don't be like a hypocrite. When you go pray, have a humble attitude. Go in privacy and pray to your Father who is in heaven. and he will hear you from heaven. And then Jesus said, and when you pray, our Father in heaven. He goes on with that beautiful model of prayer. We can use that prayer, but it's just a model that it's how we should approach the Lord. It's how we should approach our Father. So he taught that to the disciples, and it was very beautiful. But here in chapter 7, we have what I called like a reinforcement to that teaching about prayer. And it's a great reinforcement because Jesus knew how much the disciples and followers of Jesus, who are all of us, how much we would need and how much prayer would be a necessary thing in our lives. So Jesus taught about prayer, and here in chapter 7, he gives a reinforcement about prayer. And it is very, very interesting that, you know, Jesus, he will interject prayer here right after about him talking about something that it's really hard for us to do, which is like not judging, right? You know, right after talking about not judging, Jesus is like, yeah, you're going to need prayer for that one. And we say like, amen, amen, amen. I need prayer for that one because I am quick. It's so funny because we heard that message, right? And I love the message that Drew preached. And I am on the way home. You know, I don't know who was in the car with me. I think it was my father-in-law. And I said something. The Spirit went like, you are judging. you are so quick in judging. And that's why Jesus is like, you need prayer. You need to come humbly to me. You know, if you want to have victory in this area, that it's hard. It is hard. I don't know if it's only with me, but it's hard. But we can have victory. And Jesus knew that true prayer, through a conversation with our Father in heaven, through a relationship where we are constantly like exchanging with him in prayer, we can have victory even in like judging other people. And that day in the car, you know, as soon as the Holy Spirit brought that, my attitude kind of changed about what I just were thinking and saying. And Jesus interjected this here, you know, right after talking about this, but also right before talking about, you know, the shocking truth of the fact that there are two ways that leads to two different destinations. And that is the truth. And Jesus is going to talk about that, what it's called, you know, the narrow and the wide gate from a God that cannot lie. But Jesus, once again, you know, he has prayer right here in the middle because he knew we would need prayer even to understand and to be willing to learn and to follow, you know, what our Savior is asking us to follow and believe. So here is our text. I think you're going to love this text. Matthew 7, starting verse 7, it goes like this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Remember the premise? A God that cannot lie? Because we can read this, and again, naturally speaking, you can read this and you go like, no, it's not always like that. You know, I have asked sometime and I did not receive. I had sick sometime and I found nothing. I have like, you know, knock and it seemed that the door is still like shut, right? For all of us. But again, in the words of Jesus, in the Sermon of the Mountain, one of the greatest sermons in history, Jesus is saying, do you know what? Please, please believe in asking. Believe in seeking. believe in knocking. Please, don't give up. Keep on believing. Because those who ask, they shall receive. Those who seek, they will find. Those who knock, the door will be open to them. And the text goes on to say, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So here we have, once again, you know, our Heavenly Father that cannot lie, will not lie, has never lied, you know, emphasizing to us again the importance of prayer. And he's telling us, you know, prayer is asking, prayer is seeking, prayer is knocking. You know, when we ask, we are like making our need, our request known. When we are seeking, we are putting our prayer into action, right? We are going after in prayer. When we are knocking, we are also showing like a persistence in prayer. So this really seems to be like a progressive intensive where we go from like asking to seeking and to knocking. And think about this, you know, most of the times our prayers stop on the asking. You know, God bless this food, right? Or God, I pray that you heal someone. And I'm speaking for myself. You know, most of the time, my prayer is stopped at like asking. And Jesus is like, you know, there is more to prayer. There is more to prayer. I want you to ask, keep on asking, but I want you to go after. I want you to seek that you are asking. And I want you to keep on knocking. And folks, you know, That kind of makes sense. Jesus, he wants us to grow in this area of prayer in our life. You know, it's not just like a mental thing that we know and do, but it's really something that, you know, we are learning and practicing every way and growing every way in prayer in our life. And for us to remember, he gave us these three words. You know, ask, seek, and knock. Now, we know this great man of God, this great servant of God, Dr. Gordon Henry, and he has conducted like prayer seminars all over the world. And he has been in Brazil like, I don't know, three times, but he has been all over South America, all over the U.S., all over like the world. And he just retired, and the guy that was a pastor's assistant in our church in Brazil, Pastor Adam Nathans, a great missionary in Cuba, Venezuela, you know, Brazil, he has taken on, you know, the mission of Dr. Gordon Henry Ministries to keep on doing those prayer seminars. And I'm telling you, it's a very simple but very powerful seminar. Every time he conducted those seminars, it was the same thing that he did. We received that prayer seminar in Brazil three times, and it was the same thing, right? Just like when we go to God's Word and we study prayer, you know, there is nothing really something new about it. It's kind of like the same thing, and God is like, yes, it is. I just want you to practice. I just want you to believe me at my word and do it and experience, you know, the result of prayer. And Dr. Gordon Henry, in the prayer seminar, one of the things that he used to say, it's this, prayer is the work that must be done before all other work. Prayer is the work that must be done before all other work. And once again, speaking for myself, it seems that this is the side of prayer that really like turns us off. Is the side of it that it sounds like work, right? Labor, right? Because, you know, I'm lazy. I hate to say, you know, sometimes I'm lazy in prayer. We don't want to. That's little Lucas. He's responding to the message from the back, and he's like trying to like talk back to me. He knows Dad is preaching, and he's like, "Dad, I know." Rachel is laughing there, so he is responding. He's growing in prayer in the back there, hopefully. So, you know, this side of prayer that it's kind of like connected to like to work, to labor, it's a side that, you know, I thought it was just a phrase that I say. You know, but sometimes prayer, it takes like time, right? It takes like persistence. It takes like believing and going back again and again and again, you know, asking, seeking, knocking, you know, it translates into like something that we do. Guys, you know, thank God that the finished work of Christ, it is a big package of all that he has done for us. And hallelujah, praise the Lord for that, right? Thank God for that. Salvation is free and we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But there are some things that we are invited, you know, after the work of salvation, you know, to pursue. And one of those things is prayer. And it involves, yes, time. It involves, yes, work. But, you know, if we read the works of like the history of Christianity, and if you see like the miracles and the revivals that took place, it took place because someone believed in asking, seeking, and knocking. Someone believed that, yes, prayer is work, but prayer really works, and therefore I'll do it. So this is encouragement for us all, right? That, you know, it's worth it keeping going after God with our prayers because he's a God that cannot lie. He honors each one of our prayers. But I love the greatest thing about this reinforcement to prayer. It's the promises that follows. And the promise is, ask and I will give it to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you, to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. There is a kid's song. I don't know, you know, if you work with kids, but there is a kid's song. Like, you know, when we ask, he cares. When we seek, he's there. When we knock, 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 God opens up the door. And what a promise that we have from the Savior. What a promise. He wants to work out our prayers, our seeking, our knocking. And I love verse 9 and 11 to illustrate the giving nature of God. Jesus, he goes on here to say, you know, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, as humans, right, have the sin in you and evil, and you know how to give good gifts, I mean, think about us as parents and moms. You know, we like to bless our kids. We love to see the big smile in their face when we, you know, we give them a gift. And we do that, you know, as parents. And here Jesus is saying, you know, even more, me, as your heavenly Father. I love this picture here because, you know, it's a picture of prayer that it's like a child talking to the Father. And that's what prayer is. It's all of us as a child that suggests, you know, like humble, suggests like innocence, suggest, like, you know, I'm going to take my dad at his word. Suggest, like, there is nothing possible, you know? Have you had, you know, your kids ask you for something that you knew it was going to hurt your pocket, you know? But for them, it was like, my dad can. I don't care. I'm going to just ask my dad because he can. And sometimes, even though you knew that it could hurt your pocket, but because you were a great dad and a great mom, you went ahead and you, like, got them, you know, that bicycle that they want or whatever, right? And when you present it, to see the smile. So that's the relationship that God wants us to have with him in prayer. We are that child. And we are taking our Heavenly Father at his word. And we are believing what he told us to believe, that nothing, absolutely nothing, it's impossible for God. We are believing that. We are being in this world that stupid to believe that. And we still do. And I love doing it. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. I love this verse in Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorites. It goes like this: now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. Unto him who is able to do immeasurably more. And once again, you know, doubt comes. But I need to humble myself, and I need to take my Father at his word. I need to believe him. I need to believe that he knows the end before the beginning. I don't. I have no idea what's behind that door over there. My Father knows the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega. You know, I gotta take him at his word. I gotta believe that, you know, even his plans are way better than the best plan that you and I can come up for our lives. We gotta believe that, because he's God. Now, you know, if you have taught, like, children in Sunday school, or maybe you sat on Sunday school, and maybe someone taught you about prayer, and they used the illustration of the traffic light, right? Green. Yes, from God in prayer. Yellow, wait from God in prayer. Red, no from God in prayer. And that's a good premise for the fact that God, he answers all our prayers. The fact is that sometimes the answer, you know, like with Joshua, right? You know, when Joshua asked God to stop the sun, guess what? God stopped the sun so that they could have victory. God gave him a yes. But do you know what? When Jesus, his only son, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed to God, God, would you pass this cup from me? God's answer was no to his only son. And then when Abraham, who was trusting him to be a father of many nations, and him and Sarah, they were believing God and praying to God, and the answer was what? Wait. See, our Father, he is sovereign. Our prayers are all, like, welcome to him. We only need to rest at the fact that, yes, praise the Lord for the yes, the green lights from him. You know, praise the Lord for the yellow lights, that sometimes it's hard to wait, isn't it? Sometimes in prayer, it's hard for all of us to wait. And the hardest one, it's when we are sensing that our prayer is being met with a no. But folks, let's be true. Let's be truthful. How many times you look back in your life and you are so thankful that God didn't answer some of the prayers that you pray, or that he answered, but the answer was no? I was just thinking about that. I was just thinking about, like, you know, relationships sometimes, right? I was thinking about circumstances where God said, you know, no. And in the moment, the no was met with like complaint and unbelief and Father, why? Why? But then it's just, you know, a matter of time for us to realize He is God and I am not. He knew something that I didn't know. And that's why maybe He said no. That's why maybe He said wait. And thank God for the many times that he's like, He give us a yes in our prayers. But see, God, He is in the business of answering all our prayers. And therefore, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's practice prayer. And even when it's seeming that, wow, this prayer, it's kind of becoming like a laboring thing. Do you know what? No problem. It's part of it. Sometimes it's part of it. It's asking, it's seeking, and it's knocking. And see, it's like, you know, just like the work of prayer can help us not being so judgmental, not like taking the place of God in people's life and in circumstances from time to time as we do. But the beautiful thing about prayer, you know, the habit of prayer can also help us to practice verse 12. Verse 12 here, it's the golden rule, well known. My company, you know, the guy that started my company, he started the company and he used the golden rule as the base. It's the top in the philosophy card of our company. It's the golden rule. And the golden rule in verse 12, it says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums the law and the prophets on how we should treat others. And once again, you know, I can read this verse here, 12, quickly and go like, do to others, you know, and we can go like, yeah, I'll do my best to do that. But again, prayer can help us. Prayer can help us to be, you know, this person in God's kingdom who is acting, you know, with the laws, not of the land, but it's under a higher law. It's a law that belongs to the kingdom of God. And we as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, our standard, it's much higher. It's much higher. And I know that it's, you know, sometimes it's challenging and it's difficult to go by that standard because we look outside and nobody is going by that. They have their own standard. And sometimes it's hard. But once again, we can pray and we can say, God, just change my heart. Just change my mind so that I can treat even the person that I'm going to see tomorrow at work that I don't like, it's doing evil against me, and I can treat that person the way that I would love for that person to treat myself. I can love my spouse the way that I would love. I can, you know, do to others how I would love for them to do to me because I'm being empowered by God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon, who is known for many, many years as the prince of preachers, he said this. He said, oh, that all men act on it. Talking about this verse. And if we did, there would be no slavery, no war, no swearing, no striking, no lying, no robbing, but all would be justice and love. What a kingdom is this which has such a law? What a kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom that me and you, we are part of. Hey, let me tell you something. It is amazing for all of us to be part of this kingdom of God, to be citizens of heaven, even while we are here on earth, There is so much about that. You know, that should make each one of us like, you know, special. I'm part of the kingdom of God. I'm under his ruling and direction. You know, I'm abiding by higher laws that comes from God. And that can make us, you know, a better citizen, whatever we are, doing whatever we are doing, in whatever place that we are. Kingdom of heaven, here on earth, till the day, and we know that his kingdom will be established forever and ever, because God cannot lie, has his promise and not fulfilled. See, it is amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, this golden rule seems like, you know, it's a thing to behold, right? Almost unbelievable, but possible by prayer, by the children of God, us. We can act like that. We can live our lives like that. And when we fall, we can ask God to, you know, rebound quickly and go back again. So the work of prayer help us with that as well. And I want to finish with this here, verse 13 and 14. The work of prayer and the practice of prayer, asking, seeking, and knocking, can also help us to discern the way in the destination that we'll take in life and in eternity. And Jesus said, Matthew 13, 14, he said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." What another, like, gem from God's word, right? It's a gem that, yes, it squeezes, like, the sinner out of us, doesn't it? Because here is an invitation from God for us to take a way, take a road that leads to a destination that it's life, but it's narrow. Do you know why it's narrow? Jesus said, "I am the way." This narrow way, it's the Jesus way. It's actually Jesus himself. You know, I went to Bible college with like friends from all over the world, and including India. And in talking to them, you know, they would tell me like, you know, people believe in India that God is everything. God is like this here. This can be God for someone, you know. Don't touch it, you know. It's like a rock can be God. An animal can be God, you know. But the narrow way of Scripture leads to only one God and Savior, and that is Jesus. That's why the way is so narrow. It's Jesus. It is his way. It's not everything, it's God's, you know. Everything is created by God, hallelujah, amen, for us to enjoy. But everything is not God. God is God. Jesus is the Son of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that inhabits in those who believe in Jesus Christ. He created the world. That's what we learn from God's word, you know. And here he is telling us that there are two ways and two destinations. One leads to life and the other one leads to destruction. And I remember as a young person, you know, learning this truth and thinking about like, wow, yes, this way of Jesus is really narrow. It's kind of challenging. Kind of challenging. Because the wide way with many, you know, I think the way that I want. I do the things that I want. I would think, though, you know, religion for me is this. It's good that you think that way about religion. It's good that you think about God this way. But this is how I think about God. This is how I think about life. This is how, you know, I'm going to live my life. Thank you very much. Which way is this one? According to Jesus, not me. That's the wide way. But there is only one problem with the wide way, full of options. The wide way, I like to think it's the way of self, right? where I am the center, I know what's better for me, you know. But the narrow way that we are being called, it's the way of the Savior. But at the end of that way, there is life forevermore. It's a way that, yes, we pay the price, but Jesus paid it all through the cross. In identifying with him, there is a price that we paid to go through the narrow way. You know, sometimes persecution, sometimes, you know, here comes the Christian. And I hope they never call us that because of us being hypocrites. But it might be like, wow, she has such a narrow mind. And we have to say, yes, I do. You know, he has such a narrow mind. Yes, we do. It's the narrow that Jesus is calling us to follow through. And folks, again, you know, in a very young age, when learning that and thinking like, wow, if I open up my hands and go through the narrow way, what am I going to be missing? And as I open my hands, you know, but the thing that I realize as walking through the narrow way is that, yes, I was opening my hands to those values that I thought was the values of life for me. But Jesus was placing my hand on other values that were way better than the values that I thought I should hold on to my life. Ideas and enjoyment and all that as part of the package. So, yes, it is a challenge, but he is with us. Yes, it is a challenge, but that's why he just talked about prayer before he talked about the narrow way, because he knew that, you know, we would be challenged with this talk that Jesus was going to give. And he's like, hey, but you can come to me in prayer, and I will help you. And you can come to me again and again and again. You can ask, and you can seek, and you can knock. And if you feel like you are, like, you know, going with the wide way, you know, you can come to him and say, Father, please forgive me. I want to follow you. I want your plan for my life. I want to be, you know, an exemplary citizen of your kingdom, and I want to help point people to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that Kai opened up the service today. Jesus. 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 I love Jesus. So I am, like, so thankful that in all these great challenges that we see in the Sermon on the Mountain, we have a God that has given us this amazing tool called prayer, so that he could empower us, so that he could give us wisdom and discernment, so that he could make the impossible possible for us, that he could perform like miracles that we couldn't believe it could happen, but it just happened. It just happened because it's a God that cannot lie. So today, brothers and sisters, may our attitude be like of that of the early disciples who asked Jesus, Jesus, would you keep on teaching us how to pray? May we have that attitude, Jesus, help me. Teach me how to pray. May we, like a child of God, believe him at his word. May we rely on the truth that if we seek him, if we ask, he cares. If we seek him, he will be there. If we knock, 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 he will open that door. May we remain following Jesus Christ, even through the narrow gate. May we think and act like people of God's kingdom, practicing the gold rule, even when nobody else seems to care to do the same. And may we set the pace for what it's like to live in the kingdom of God, helping others find their way to the King, King Jesus, our beloved King. And as Drew would say, This is great, good news for us today. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Father, what a blessing. What a blessing to be called by you and to follow you in the world that you created. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word that always is teaching us and calling us to your way. And thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for peace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your amazing patience with us. And thank you, Father, for the gift of faith, of belief. We can believe. Even this morning, if you are here, you can believe. There is nothing to impede you to believe God at his word, but to take on this morning the attitude of a child facing the Father, trusting the Father, trusting his words, letting him take you by his hand to cross the many roads of difficulties, of challenges, till the day that we meet him face to face, that we will live forever with him. So, Father, we want to say thank you for these messages that we have been hearing. And yes, it is just like last week and today, it is a challenging. But with the challenge, you always give a provision. And in prayer, it's a great provision. So, Father, please teach us and continue to teach us how to pray. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you and love you. Amen, amen, and amen.